Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Elledge. Let's get into it. With us right now, it's Justin Rickliffs. Justin, you are the founder and CEO of Guild Collective. You were found on the web at guildcollective.com. Justin, it's great to have you.
Oh, man, I'm honored, Josh. Thanks for having me. And I wish we were together in Florida, actually, not here in Kansas City, but it's good to be with you online at least.
Yeah, Kansas City's a great town. You got the World Cup coming into town, and Kansas City's going to be on the world stage for a moment. So, but you know, Justin, you and I were kind of talking beforehand, and I always, you know, kind of start off our conversations on The Thoughtful Entrepreneur, kind of talking about, I love learning what high-level leaders do for fun or what they're kind of passionate about when they're not at work. And you and I share and I'm very recent to this for a couple of reasons, but do you mind sharing kind of like what you've been doing when you're not at work? I'll let you, I don't want to steal your thunder.
Well, I don't know if it's thunder or makes me weird, but I guess it might make two of us weird. But I've entered the birdwatching era of my life, and it's just, one of the favorite parts of my day is waking up a little bit before everybody else in the house, going on a long walk, and then coming back to we've got a screened in porch in our house, and we come to the back of the house, sit on the screened in porch. I do a little bit of journaling, gratitude, some prayers, some of that kind of spiritual core stuff. And then we've got about 7 birdhouses kind of littered around the corner of our back deck, and they all are there, the woodpeckers, and we don't get a ton of bluebirds, but when the bluebirds come, that's amazing. Lately, the indigo buntings have shown up, which is a wild bird. It's as vibrant blue as you can imagine. Anyway, wow. I feel like the mall walkers and the bird watchers got it right, and I've made fun of those two people for a long, long time when I was younger, and now I'm like, wait, that's me. And so anyway, that's a little bit of maybe where we can jump in.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at photos of this indigo bunting. You're right. That is a really beautiful, vibrant blue. My gosh. No,
they're insane.
I would love to see that. We woodpeckers, we have one that's I don't know if it's a red crested, but it's just got this beautiful, what's the color? It's a peachy red, and it's really beautiful and vibrant. Yeah, they're probably my favorite that we get here in Orlando. You know, but so what I'm going to point out here is it doesn't sound, Justin, like in that moment you're not hustling and grinding. What's going on?
Ooh, yeah, I think the hustle and grind season of my life is, I mean, there's still that tendency, and you wake up on Monday and you feel this compulsion to push and produce and do the thing. And of course, like, hard work's always going to be part of it, but there is a longer story to this if we want to go there. But last July, my life, I was so exhausted. I was tired. I was compressed. I was, you know, running from that place of franticness that probably looked fine from the outside, but inside I was just this interior exhaustion and depletion, really. Yeah. And I went on a 2-day silent retreat at this Catholic monastery. I'm not even Catholic, but it reset and reframed this different posture. And I'm in process on this. I've not arrived at any destination, but this process of receiving, this process of presence, this process of stillness and slowness, and frankly, like a sharper, more sophisticated way of showing up in the world, as opposed to this, like, man, I'm so freaking scared and I'm just going to push and hustle and grind to death. Yeah. And My life's better, man. Like my
Oh yeah.
relationship with my wife's better. My relationship with my kids is better. My connection to our team and our clients and the work is more acute and present. And anyway, the hustle piece is it's a dangerous drug, man. And I took it, you know, for a long time, and I'm still a recovering hustle and grinder.
Been there, done that, my friend. And especially as you rise to higher levels of leadership, the quality of the seconds and minutes that you invest when you need to be on, when it really matters, that's what differentiates a great leader from an okay leader is, how did they show up in that 10 minutes that really mattered, in front of that key partner or prospect or shareholders or whatever it is. So you're absolutely right, or at least I have this experience of I take my downtime very seriously. Social media does not, it doesn't get entrance into my fortress of solitude time. But my koi fish out back, they do. They get my
I
full
love that.
attention for 10 minutes. It's just 10 minutes, but I pop a chair back there and I'm just like, I'm gonna look at the fish. I'm gonna look at watch the turtles. If a bird comes by, that too. But there's this, this sense of awe and humility that comes in, and I just feel part of a bigger world. And it's also integration time. If our brains are constantly go, 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 it's almost like, the difference between praying where we're just talking, doing all the talking, and then praying where we're doing more listening. So it's like for me, it's the time for me to listen to my own inner consciousness during that time and just see what comes up completely there's not a lot of intention other than just like, I'm going to be at peace right now. Man, I just want to ask you this one more question about the 2 day silence retreat. How challenging was that? Or were there moments of that where it was very hard?
Yes, to all. It was a remarkable experience. I don't know what a way to describe it in a concise way, but it really did shift something in my life. And the way that I can try to walk into it is, it was actually such a damn relief to not have a phone, to not have a laptop, to not have the even responsibility of these, you know, small talk conversations with people that you're not tight with or close with, right? And so there's safety for me in surface level conversations of like, oh yeah, hey, what do you do? What's your story? How are you? Blah, right? And again, that's not bad, and there's a place for that. But what I found was I was an outsider, not Catholic, and they were the most hospitable, wonderful people. And then I'm forced to encounter this new system that I don't have all of my kind of traditional way of doing things. I can't pull up Claude and be like, hey, what's the monastic lifestyle? Give me the, you know, I
Yeah, you just
can't
have to be in mystery. Who knows?
100%, 100%. And in silence, and even as basic humanity of sitting across from a man I didn't know at the breakfast table and watching him how he cracked his hard-boiled egg and opened his egg and poured salt on it. And there's just silence. And I'm like, man, dude, like this is, it's crazy. And so all of it to say, yes, there were challenging parts for sure. Even as simple as like, I don't know what time it is, and we have to be at Vespers at 7:15 a.m. because at that point in time I didn't wear a watch. Now I do. And because we rely so much on the date, you know, the phone, right? So much. And that, to not have it, it felt initially kind of weird. I was kind of like a junkie. I was reaching for it. And then it took a couple hours and I was like this big exhale, and all this stuff came to the surface. All honestly, I cried longer in those 48 hours than I have in years and years and years. It surprised me. And I think my body was just expressing it. It was just like a sweat gland. It was just expressing these emotions that I'd kind of like just like pressed in, you know. And It was such a delight, though. It was an experience. Everything was vibrant. Everything was bright. Everything was visible. Everything was really clear and present.
Wow.
And it really did. It really did change me and shift me and helped reorder. I think the biggest kind of takeaway that I've written about a little bit publicly is my priorities weren't wrong, but they were misordered. And to watch how the monks live this very ordered life. And for them, like I couldn't do what they do, right? But I had such reverence for their rigor and their fidelity and their order. They just prioritized the same thing over and over and over. And as an entrepreneur, and especially as one that's an Enneagram 7, I'm kind of like all over the place. I'm like, oh, shiny thing, let's do new thing, let's get big, let's go build. It was just like, oh no, the priorities are right here. They need to be ordered. And so for me, it's faith, and then my own fitness. My soul fitness, physical fitness, emotional fitness, all that. Then my family, then finances, and then friends. And I'm hopeful as I continue to get older and more mature that the friends thing pops up over the finances bucket. But right now, like that's the practical order of my life. And that's a long answer to your awesome question, but it was a stunning experience to see how much silence really shaped and reordered and surfaced things in me that were so, some hard, but some really, really, really good.
Man, that is so valuable. Thank you so much for sharing your experience with that. And yeah, I'm truly inspired by it. We got to talk about Guild Collective. Tell me about the work that you do, Justin.
It's been a 10-year journey towards clarity, and I feel like we're at this. We just left yesterday our quarterly business review, and as a team, we're at this point where we've taken. I know you've had so many awesome leaders on your show. So a lot of this is just like jumping on their backs and saying the same story. But as an entrepreneur, I started here. And I was like, oh, we can do this and this and this. We can serve you in this way. And we had all of these, awesome, but like capabilities and products and different ways we were trying to, frankly, make money. And as we've been in the room with CEOs, owners, CMOs, people making significant decisions about their brand over the years, we've just started to shrink that focus into this like one system. And the system we talk about is how to build a human first brand. And that's comprised of three core vital signals and one activity. So the vital signals are, is it clear? Is it connected? And is it creative? And then ultimately, are you committed to that piece? And so like a XY axis is like high purpose, is in the North Star. Can we help a brand identify and live out their purpose? And then is it integrated? You used that word earlier, and it's like, yes, that's what we're talking about from a brand standpoint. If everybody has experienced those times when we did this meaningful work, like in a boardroom, and then it got stuck in a PDF somewhere or a Google Drive or a Dropbox folder, and it didn't get integrated into the recruiting, the onboarding, the culture, the growth and development on the internal side. And then on the external side, our clients get disconnected. And so then our clients aren't delighted. We don't have a clear plan for how do we market, sell, deliver, grow, right? And so the work we are invited into with leaders these days is this really beautiful. We talk about it being the brand heartbeat. The business strategy typically lives in the head of the business, but then the heart gets to express how that brand shows up inside first. Because all healthy companies, they're healthy inside first. They don't market themselves to growth. And it's an expression. Growth is an outcome, as my friend Corey Shear says. Growth is not the strategy. And so anyway, at Guild, that's what we're up to, is we're helping them discover their heartbeat and then have that heartbeat be integrated from the inside of their business all the way to the outside world.
There is so much development and copy and communication that's happening, and creative content that's being shared on the web, and it's AI created, and I think it's wonderful. It's the tools that we're getting are exciting, and allow us to output so much more. But given that context, Justin, based on everything that's going on right now, why is it more important than ever to be a human first brand?
Because, again, all we're pro AI, right? We're not anti AI, but we're pro
Right.
human connection. And it's how much of a signal is it to connect first to the humans in the business? And as simple as that sounds to say, what leaders end up typically doing is, oh, we're going to add more stuff. We got to be busier. We got to hustle. We got to add this new AI prompt. What if we add an AI customer service chat? Which again, none of these things are bad, but they're almost like putting plywood up on the top of a dam when the pressure and the water's rising. My friend Corey Shear told us that story yesterday. And people that put plywood up don't deal with the actual systemic issue in the reservoir itself. The pressure is building for leaders in ways that are honestly really exhausting and scary. But the work is to take all that water pressure and create a system that allows it to flow, as opposed to just like putting up all these external kind of band-aids of quote unquote marketing, right? And we see it all over the place. It's like, oh, we should make sure we show up in AI search, and we should make sure that we have a TikTok strategy, and we should buy some more Google ads. And because people are ultimately the core human emotion is like, we're afraid that the old ways aren't going to work anymore. But the work, the required work of the leader and the leadership team is to get tight and small and simple in ways that the story itself can become the generative engine towards the team, number one, and then to the client experience, number two. And there's at scale, it's happening with, you know, let's pick a brand like Carvana. Carvana's gone all in on how do we disrupt the industry so that we don't make buying a car a scary, intimidating, annoying experience where we get strong-armed and bad copped, right? That's just it's a terrible way to live. We bought a car from Carvana a few weeks ago, and we shopped online. We have a 7-day money back guarantee if we don't like it. The woman who delivered the car was proud to work for Carvana. She loved the equipment, and she made the experience in our front yard a delight. And they're crushing it from a financial perspective. They're destroying it. They're doing really, really well. And then you take it all the way down to like the small, you know, tiny local restaurant. When you prioritize the human experience, when people love working at the place, and when people are delighted to buy from the place, the business flourishes. It sounds simple to say, right? But that's the work, is like, oh, can we prioritize the human connection? And if the team loves working here, and if the client it has a delightful experience, the business grows. And again, it's not always that simple, but that is the road.
So how do we build a human first brand internally? So with our teams, and I know it's kind of a big question. Oh, by the way, do you have a hard stop in 2 minutes, or can you go?
I'm good if you're good.
I actually, let me just verify. I got a little behind the scenes there. No, hey, edit podcast editor, just go ahead and keep this in. This is real, real. Yeah, I do have an open spot.
Okay. I'm good if you're good.
Yeah. So I need to ask you about this. And that is, developing a human first culture on the inside, because if we can get it right on the inside, then everything we do on the outside will be a reflection of how our culture operates. You don't have to fake it, right? So you don't have to, you know, kind of plaster these inspirational posters on the exterior, you know, to convey, 100%. Oh yes, you know, here we're a family, you know, it just like, you know, so what are those things that the good best practices that we as leaders can do within our groups?
Yeah, and it's we have a process we call the Human First Brand Blueprint, and it's seven core pieces in the framework. And I'll walk through that here in a second, but in its most practical sense is really thinking about a human first brand on the inside of the business as four things. Is, do we have clarity? Clarity is freaking hard. It's easy to be busy, confusing, try a bunch of stuff, but it's like, what's the one single purpose? Why do we exist? Get clear on that answer. We asked a huge CEO, big business, a brand we want to work with so bad, and they invited us into this workshop. And the CEO, I kept asking him, I was like, yeah, but why do you guys exist? What's the purpose? And he got defensive and angry, ultimately because he didn't have an answer to that. And I wasn't being provocative on purpose. I was trying to get him to articulate his why. And they don't have those answers. They've got vision statements. They've got, well, we did this values work. And like those, again, those aren't bad things. But if we just simplify it down to why do we exist? Do the people who work at our place know why we do this? And if the answer is unclear, it's confusion. It's the opposite of what Brené Brown says. Clear is kind, is what she says. It's the opposite. Unclear is unkind. So start with clarity. Get really clear on your purpose. The second is build connection. And the connection is, do I know, care for, value, give a damn, the book I wrote, do I give a damn about our employees? Do I care for them? And then the third piece is this place actually creative? Not in just a, do we have a pretty, break room or whatever, but is it creative in the sense of, does it evoke human emotion? Is there energy in this building that's flowing in a way that feels vibrant, alive, interactive, contagious, connected, all that, right? And then ultimately, are we committed to being on that path of simplicity? And for us, how that shows up in practical form is we call it the Human First Brand Blueprint, and it starts with that purpose. And usually the purpose is like ethereal and kind of wordy and jargony and corporate. And it's like, no, like we want to simplify it. For Guild, for us as an example, our purpose is to create meaningful abundance, which sounds weird coming from a brand agency, but that's what we want to be a part of, is to create meaningful abundance in our own business and then therefore in the business of the partners that choose to work with us. And then it walks down into kind of a spinal column of the brand heartbeat. How does that brand beat from an internal perspective? What is that word or phrase that will orient and architect behavior? So for us, it's cultivate connections. So we show up in the world by, hey, we want to connect people. We want to make sure Josh knows so and so, and so that their lives get better. And then, of course, the byproduct is we were the broker of the connection. And then the heartbeat principles, or think of it as values, is how does that purpose and that heartbeat express itself through the beliefs and the behaviors of our team. And then ultimately, there's some brand stuff around personality, story, and then the visual identity of how that is represented. Because the visuals ultimately reflect all of that lovely core brand work. And so anyway, I could go way deep in that, but in simple form, I think if leaders and organizations can think about culture is not a committee or a pizza party. That's not culture. Culture is a byproduct. Culture is an outcome. So culture is, do the people that work here, is it clear? Are we connected to them? Like actually connected to them? Are we creating an environment that's actually creative in the sense of energy's flowing and people like it here? And then are we committed to walking that road?
Justin, your website is guildcollective.com. To our friend that's been listening, where do they go from here?
Oh man, they go. They can follow us here. I write on LinkedIn almost every day, so we can connect on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. It's so awesome, especially when you inject some humanity into it, not just like AI weird formatted posts that aren't even from you. And so yeah, I'd say either guildcollective.com or on LinkedIn, just search my name, Justin Rickliffs.
And we've got those direct links in our show notes. So to our friend that's listening right now, open up your podcast app, click around, you'll find a direct link. Go see Justin's website. And by the way, Justin, we didn't really talk about your book, but it's called Give a Damn, which I think that they can find that through your website as well. Justin, it's been a great conversation. Thank you for the journey that you've taken us on.
Well, we're gonna have to do it again, Josh, and we'll talk about birds and all sorts of stuff.
Love it. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your Pod Verified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.